Welcome to The Athlete and the NARP. I'm Jenna Daly, and I'm the athlete.
And I'm Claire Fenton, and I'm the NARP. And if you don't know what a NARP is, then you're one too.
Welcome to the 16th episode of The Athlete and the NARP. Today we're going to be discussing how the sports streaming landscape has changed over the past couple of decades since the early 2000s. And kind of the thing that prompted this for us recently was the NFL games that were hosted by Netflix on Christmas Day, which was a brand new thing. And it's going to be happening again for the next couple of years into 2026. And so thankfully, as we'll talk about, went off very well without a hitch, unlike some of the stuff they've done in the past. But before we get all into that, into the current day stuff, I'd like to turn it over to Jenna real quickly, who's going to talk about just the brief history of how sports streaming has come into play and especially has just exploded in recent years with such the wide variety of options that are available or unavailable to people whenever they're trying to watch their favorite teams.
Yeah, so like Claire said, we kind of kicked it off with Netflix being kind of the talk of the town. It's probably the newest streaming platform to come to, like, the, I don't know, best of the best sports, and especially with their Christmas Day showings. Everyone's really talking about them now, and so that got me started to think about where did live sports streaming actually begin, and who was the first one on that market. So I just did a very deep dive into it, but it pretty much began in the early 2000s, kind of more late 2000s is when it started to become a serious thing. But ABC and ESPN were actually the first ones to kind of get into it. I don't know the details of that, but I know that it wasn't a specific streaming platform or anything until the early 2010s, I think. That's when ESPN Plus and then another platform that I've never heard before, it's DAZN.
Nope.
Yeah, so I don't know if it ever succeeded or what.
But what happened there?
Great question. But those were the first platforms that were launched aimed solely at sports streaming. So that's kind of where it really started. And since then, it's been growing. But it really took the COVID-19 pandemic to actually like get it going and people to really start recognizing the probably long-term potential. I kind of found out that leagues actually recognized that in the early 2010s, but then there wasn't really any movement. Cable broadcasting was still really popular back then. And the first real disruptor, I would say, is YouTube TV that was launched in 2017.
Oh, it's that old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
And so the interesting thing about that one is I don't think, even though the articles I found said that leagues think that in like the early 2010s there's a lot of potential, none of them seem to think, and none of the cable broadcasters seem to think that YouTube TV was a big competitor in that moment, because I'm looking at this list of all the agreements of channels that they have back then, and it's ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, Fox Sports, even Comcast, Sportsnet. So even then, like, that's a pretty
substantial
list. Fun fact, I thought this was kind of funny. They rolled it out as $35 per month with only 5 major cities. And now it's available nationwide for $82.99 per month with over 100 channels. So that's a pretty big jump.
Definitely.
I don't know. I guess 8 years, it's almost a decade. That's a pretty long time, but I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting. And since then, they've added TNT and honed in on sports. So now they have like NBA TV and MLB Network. So I thought that was just a really cool disruptor, because it kind of seems like they launched really quietly, and it was seamless, because since sports teams and leagues had been using YouTube to push different content too, it made sense for them to do it, and it was a great move at the time. And honestly, it's an even better move thinking about it now, just with all of the competitors that we're thinking about and we'll be talking about today. They were originally actually competing with, if you remember, like AT&T DirecTV. I feel like it used to be pretty big.
Mm, sure, yeah.
Maybe just in like my family's households, I don't know. They were competing with that, and then also Hulu had live TV. So Hulu's actually been around with that for a while as well. Yeah. So
Hulu's definitely pushed that super hard.
Yeah,
they have like a ton of commercials with athletes where they're right. Like, Hulu has live sports.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing those and everything. So those were like the biggest players to begin with, and then now you see that there's everyone's trying to jump onto the sports camp, and mm-hmm. so yeah, we'll talk about. Amazon Prime is a big one trying to solidify themselves in that. I mean, we talk about Netflix and then even like Peacock. That mm-hmm. was huge at the Olympics, we saw, but also others. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Apple TV, Paramount Plus. So it's becoming a very saturated market. So
definitely.
Which is very, very different than how it began. So mm-hmm. kind of cool to me.
For sure.
Researched this for way too long. Yeah. But it was cool.
No, it's cool to look into. I think especially because, I feel like nobody thought that the way that streaming looks now is how it would have been. Because I think especially with like YouTube TV, trying to break into that, I feel like is super hard. Mm-hmm. But like the snowball effect of just like now everybody has something. And yeah. then once everybody has their own thing, they want to take their thing away from everybody else. Like, I feel like I remember like when I think it was Peacock like launched their own service and they took The Office away from Netflix, and it was like this huge thing. And it's kind of like that with the sports stuff mm-hmm. even now too, where every sports league, which like, we'll get into, is trying to figure out like what's the best way to get our platform out to a wider audience while also, I guess, maximizing our own profit and our own benefit in order to watch every NFL game this year. Based on the different avenues for the different, like they have some games on Prime, they have some games on Netflix, they have some games on Paramount Plus. Like it would cost over $500 to watch every single NFL game,
which is crazy
this year, which is absolutely insane.
You had made a note that doesn't even include in-market Sunday games, so that's technically not even.
It's technically not even the full cost. Like then you like it's probably unlikely that somebody would be able to watch every NFL game even if they wanted to or had the time. Again, the way that that's just, like, evolved now to where you need, like, five different things to be able to watch, like, just one league. And I think with, at least for me right now, with my habits, it works out just with my roommate. Like, we each have things that we share, and so together mm-hmm. we're able to kind of combine and watch everything. But if I was on my own, with any, not just with the NFL, but with kind of any sport, I would definitely be missing out on a lot of mm-hmm. things. Or if, thank you, Mom and Dad, like letting
right.
me use their accounts for my own, even, you know, while I'm not still in the household, which is another thing that, like, Netflix, for example, is trying to crack down on. If it weren't for that, I'd definitely, like, not be able to watch, like, the vast majority of things that I wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember talking to my parents. They canceled cable either last year, mm-hmm. probably last year, I'd say, and they ended up getting Sling mm-hmm. TV.
Yeah.
And I think there's three different subscription levels. I think we're on like the second one. And they told me how much cable was. And now I'm curious, based on after this research of the breakdown of all the NFL platforms and things, I'm actually very curious about how much we still would spend on all those like platforms combined. And how does that compare? It must still be cheaper.
Sure.
But I wonder by how much and for how much longer will it be cheaper? Because inevitably these are going to go up.
Definitely. And I, at least for our family too, the kids have been trying to convince my parents to get rid of our cable, which we still have. Not that we're paying for it, but just because we're like, we should get rid of this. One of the big arguments that I know that they've kind of said, thrown back at us a little bit is like, for example, the Pirates are on our local network, mm-hmm. which is involves cable. And so if we don't want to have to pay like the exorbitant amount of money to have the subscription for just to watch that one thing and one thing only, it's like, well, then we have cable and we can still watch that. Same thing with, like, the Penguins, which I know you were talking about. Like, mm-hmm. those in-market games in the local areas that are easy to watch if you're here in Atlanta and you just, like, log on to ESPN Plus and you can, like, watch things that aren't in your market. But when you go home and you try to do the same thing, they're blacked out because you're supposed to be watching on your cable. There's also that then, too, where it's, like, just nothing's ever easy. And that's one of the main reasons why they've still keep cable around is mostly for those types of sports that they're more interested in watching as opposed to, like, they're more interested in the local sports as opposed to just, like, I like to watch, like, the Champions League games and stuff, so I need a subscription for that, but they're not as interested in that. They just mm-hmm. care more about the Pittsburgh stuff.
Right, yeah, that's something that I get so annoyed with when I go home. I mean, I was just home for Christmas break, and you'd think when you go home you want to watch all of your local sports, but since we don't have cable, I was trying to watch the Bruins, and they're on NESN, which we don't have anymore. Yeah. And so then Sling, of course, like the premium level has the NHL network, so I could use that, but no, I can't.
Sure.
Because again, you have to pay for that. Exactly. And so it's so funny that I can watch every single game when I'm here at school, and then I go home, and that's where, you know, you have like your geographic like heart. And so you really want to watch it with your family, and then you can't. So that was so frustrating. But then my dad and I talk about all the time, we're NESN 360 is what did I say, $30 a month?
Yeah, it was something insane.
And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're not gonna pay that for the Bruins
exactly.
and the Red Sox at the moment. I don't know, that's crazy to me.
No, it definitely is. And I think that's why something like Netflix, for example, kind of to circle back to the original reason why we wanted to do this episode, that's why something like Netflix is maybe appealing, because it's more ubiquitous, first of all. It's definitely not at $30 a month. I think it's like around 10 or so.
Kind of like the basic one that I think a lot of people have is like 16 a month.
Okay, so 16. So that's even gone up.
That's gone up. That's gone up in the last year by a lot. Yeah.
So anyway, so $16 a month. And that is nice because like there are no blackouts, at least the way they're doing it right now. And I think that's part of the reason why they decided to put the NFL games on Netflix this year, or why that partnership was reached, was because it gives them the international audience in a very easy way. Like we had seen that over 200 countries watched people in over 200 countries were watching the NFL games on Christmas today, which is absolutely crazy and like probably definitely not possible with a lot of the other streaming platforms that are available, but like people all over the globe already have Netflix and they can just turn it on and watch.
It actually shocks me how many countries tuned in, because
for sure that's like literally almost all of them.
Right.
Almost every single country where there was a Netflix account, somebody was watching.
Pretty much, yeah. I think it said at one point a third of Netflix's global subscribers were at one time were watching
the
games.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's so insane. And they went well, which is which is good.
Yeah.
Because in the past they've done stuff and it hasn't. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not related to sports, but Netflix wanted to stream Love is Blind season 4. They were gonna do like a live premiere of like the final episode, and like pretty much it was unwatchable. Like people couldn't log on, they couldn't watch it. Like, and they actually had to like apologize during a stakeholders meeting because it just was a total disaster.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a stakeholders meeting.
There was a stakeholders meeting. I don't know if it was about that, but like during that meeting, there was like a public apology of, oh, sorry, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
People, I think, were a little, you know, nervous about if it's going to be able to handle certainly like the much large volume. Like you said, a third of all people were not watching season 4 of Love is Blind.
Right.
On Netflix. So now they have that for the NFL. Can they handle
to your disappointment?
To my disappointment as someone who's like a newfound watcher of the show. To be able to handle that traffic from all those different people, like for something on like a much greater stakes scale, like the NFL. And thankfully it went well. And actually was pretty enjoyable to watch, I think. And it was really cool that they also had the halftime performance, Beyonce, which was incredible.
Which I think was a really smart move too.
Definitely.
It made a lot of sense to pull in someone that, I mean, it's kind of also like the Taylor Swift effect. Taylor Swift and Beyonce have a very similar effect when it comes to sports.
Sure.
Like they will pull in people who wouldn't tune in whatsoever for sports just for that.
And I think I even saw that, so there was the two games, the Steelers Chiefs game, and then the Ravens Texans game. And the average viewing for those two games was slightly lower than the average viewing for Beyonce's performance, which her performance is much shorter, obviously.
Right.
Like the games are both like 3 hours long, and her is like, what, 20 minutes, maybe not even. But I just still thought that was funny, that it was people were definitely tuning in just to see her and were really excited. And even the people that were already watching were still really excited to watch her. And so I think it was just like a really well put together event. And it's like a good sign, I guess, for the next couple of years that they're going to, if they do similar thing, it's going to be good to watch.
I was just thinking about where I was when I was watching the games. And so I was at my grandparents' house. And now that I'm thinking about it, everyone was kind of in and out of the living room watching the games, just kind of chatting and stuff. But then when it came to Beyonce's performance, almost everyone was in the living room. We were gathered around the couch and just like commenting on what was
going
on.
Yeah, definitely.
And so whether it was positive or negative, but I think I remember it was kind of like everything else stopped and everyone watched. So even in my own house, I saw the stat of people watching go up. So
that was
kind of funny. Something that was really interesting when I was looking through this, I went into a bunch of Reddit pages just to see kind of commentary on what people thought of the streaming, because now that I'm thinking about it, what had actually sparked this episode topic was the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight, and with, like, how buggy it was and all of that. And so that's what we were saying, like, oh, I wonder if it'll even be able to have the bandwidth.
This episode was a while in the making.
Yeah, it was. It really
it
was.
It took us a while to get to this point, but, we've been thinking about it for a couple months.
Right. But it's nice to be able to reflect on the actual Christmas games and things. A lot of the comments on Reddit were actually very positive, and so some of the comments, they didn't go too far into them, which is probably for the best, but most of them were saying that they were some of the highest quality games that they've watched, and they really enjoyed the different camera angles. I don't know if there was a lot more drone footage than usual, but I think there might have been from what I remember when I was watching, and that was something I noticed that I thought was cool, too. So it seems that people were reacting pretty positively to it, which is also a really big plus.
And even if you have to have all these subscriptions for the NFL, or you can't watch every single game, like, for the most part, it seems like it's something that they're going to buy into it no matter what, because it's the NFL, and they have, like, a little bit of more leverage in that way. They can kind of just say, we're putting games here, we're putting games here, and, like, people are going to watch it or buy it or whatever. I think with some of the other sports that are, like, a little bit smaller, I mean, which is pretty much, honestly, every other sport. I think, especially with, like, I think we were talking about baseball and hockey, and a little bit even with the NBA, they're just, like, struggling to find, like, exactly how they're going to navigate.
Right.
The NBA just established a new rights deal. They're going away from TNT, who they've been partners with for a while, and much to my dismay, that means the axe of my favorite pundit show inside the NBA, which is, like, much to everybody's chagrin, like, just a big bummer. But even they're looking for new avenues, looking for new things. They weren't satisfied with what they have. They're trying to figure out what's best for them. And we were even talking with the NHL how they're definitely in a bit of a tricky position just because they're such an inter-country league where they have a lot of teams in Canada, most in the U.S., but, like, a lot in Canada for obvious reasons. But it makes it tough for them whenever they're trying to negotiate new rights deals because if, for example, if they get to the playoffs and, like, even with the Stanley Cup last year where they have Edmonton playing all the way through those playoffs and then into the championship, they're not able to track the viewership in Canada like they are with the U.S., and so it makes it difficult for them to say, like, they're missing a huge chunk of viewership whenever they're looking at the numbers that they then want to go to take to somebody to negotiate a rights deal. Like, they can't accurately say how many people were watching the game, and so it's tough for them when there are these Canadian teams that make it all the way through, and then it's even worse for them when you have, like, a Stanley Cup championship like you did last year where it's like Florida, which is like not a high market value where like casual viewers would want to tune in or like know what's going on, or even is like it's definitely not the most popular sport in Florida. And then Edmonton, which is again like not something that a casual American viewer is tuning in to see, and so that was like a disaster of a matchup for
everyone was like, this is the most irrelevant matchup ever, because it was this really new team that had never won a cup before, and then the Oilers haven't been overly successful in the last last few years. I mean, Connor McDavid's a big name, but not in the grand scope of all sports.
No, and I think I even had in my notes here that Connor McDavid, one poll that was like in the U.S., like ranking the most popular athletes, had Connor McDavid, who is like the honestly, like, the star of the NHL, outside the top 1,000.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a massive issue for the NHL if you can't even have, like, whatever's going on there with marketing or viewership or your rights deal. It's, like, your most popular player isn't even in the top 1,000 most recognizable athletes in the U.S. Like, that's obviously something that I'm sure they're trying to figure out how to navigate and how to promote the sport better. And I think even for me, like, if I wasn't into hockey, like, I don't see it anywhere.
Yeah, it's not as easy. And that's something that we had kind of talked about before with, like, the local channels. That makes it really difficult for it to grow nationwide. And so their partnership, now that TNT has severed ties with the NBA, they've actually joined forces with the NHL. And I think that's a really good idea for the NHL. I think that'll grow it a lot. They actually have a good, I don't know what the show is called, but, like, they have, like, Wayne Gretzky on there. They have this guy named Paul, like, Bissonnette, like, Biz. I don't even know his actual name. They just call him Biz. And he's, like, constantly chirping.
Love him.
Just everyone. and so that one's a pretty, that's actually a pretty good show based in Atlanta. It's interesting to learn about kind of how the NFL and the NBA are navigating it, because I think it's very different to how the NHL and the MLB are going to do it. The NHL is in an interesting spot because now that they're with TNTA, I think they're a little bit more comfortable and they'll be able to expand a little bit nationwide and then with Canada too. I think the MLB might get left behind a little bit. The NHL also has a couple different partnerships. So now with TNT, like, you can also stream it through Max, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were kind of talking about earlier, the local channels make it really difficult to make it widely accessible for everyone. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that was something that I think they're really going to have to figure out. I don't know how they're going to be able to grow their audience, to be honest.
And I think some sports, and I could be speaking more for myself here, but I think some sports are easier to follow nationwide or mm-hmm. globally as opposed to just, like, your local. And I think for me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think baseball is really one of those where, like, you're usually not watching games that aren't, like, your local team.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's usually not happening, whereas NFL, people want to watch every single game if mm-hmm. they can.
I also think it's a lot easier. So I was trying to think of, like, why is the NFL so huge yeah. compared to others? And I guess it makes sense that they're on a weekly basis. Like, you have
fewer games.
You know, way fewer games mm-hmm. and set days, whereas sometimes, I mean,
baseball is, like, too many games.
I would say baseball is, like, what, 120 games? Yeah, like, it's over 100 for sure. And then I remember hockey is, like, 80-something. So
NBA's all, I mean, basketball's, like, 80.
NBA's, yeah, getting up there, too. So it's, you're not going to watch all of those, and that's exhausting to watch even your own team. So definitely you're not going to. Mm-hmm. Unless if you're following, like, a certain player or mm-hmm. maybe a certain team mm-hmm. other than your main one, then sure, you'll watch it. But it's too much, so people just get overwhelmed. Honestly, overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think the other component of, like that's kind of, like, the more local stuff, but then also these sports that are, like, more global, I think specifically, like, we were talking about soccer and mm-hmm. F1. I think it's gotten so, so much better because I remember when I was younger, middle school-ish, and I really wanted to start watching some of the players mm-hmm. on the national teams and, like, follow them and kind of get into it. I remember it was so hard because there was, yeah. like, nothing that was available for me to watch. I could only watch, like, the Premier League games on my cable channel at, like, 10 a.m. on a Saturday or Sunday or whatever, when usually mm-hmm. I had other stuff going on. And it was only the ones they chose to televise, not even all right. the leagues. So it was just really tough for me, like, as a kid to figure out, like, what do I want to watch, whereas opposed to now, like, now there's plenty of options to watch, like, every single league, like MLS, La Liga, whatever, but they're, like, all on separate streaming services.
It's a little bit of a hot mess.
It's a bit of a hot mess. Like, yeah. MLS is exclusively on Apple now, pretty much.
Right.
The Bundesliga and La Liga are on ESPN+. Serie A is on Paramount+. The Prem is on Peacock, or, like, your own cable channel stuff if that's available. It's literally just everywhere. And so to have all of that, I haven't done the calculation, but I'm sure it adds up just, like, with football.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, like, very overwhelming to try to watch that. It's in a slightly different vein with F1, which we've talked about before. I think this is actually one of an example where they're doing a good job, I think,
I agree.
With their streaming service. And it's a totally different sport. It's always easier when you have fewer events. Like, for F1, there's, like, yeah. 20 races.
And it's
a
not
year.
Like, you have different teams competing at different times.
Right.
Like, it's all central in one race.
Exactly. So
it's
helps. A completely different sport.
Right.
But in terms of the actual streaming service, I think that that's where they're doing a cool thing, where it's, like, they have F1 TV. What is it? It's, like, $90 a year?
Yeah, a little bit less.
Okay, $80,
yeah.
$90 a year. And basically, like, I think for most streaming services, as we're used to them now, it's like you pay that money, all you get to do is watch the game. You
mm-hmm.
just get access to the game. With F1 TV, it's really nice that you get to have different drivers' views. So for, like, every driver out there that's on the track, there's, like, a camera attached to their car. And so you can, with the streaming service, not only can you watch the regular broadcast, but you can also just pick which driver you want to, like, sit, quote-unquote, sit in the car with
right.
and go through them through the race, which is a really cool, like, that's, like, new, and that's unique, and that's something you don't get unless
yeah,
you pay for
exactly.
F1 TV. And then you also get access to some of the commentary that maybe
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have otherwise, and, like, the post-race shows.
Yeah, you
shows.
Can switch broadcasts.
You can
things.
Switch through broadcasts.
Yeah, there's
like,
a lot more.
There's a lot, and especially, yeah, it's something that's really, really cool, especially for, like, a global audience. And so
mm-hmm.
that's, like, the one example that I know of a streaming service that, of course, you have to pay for it, but it offers you the opportunity to have unique things. It's like with Patreon. Like, that was my example. Like, if you're, like, follow someone on YouTube or, like, a content creator, sometimes I set up a Patreon where, like, you can, it's a donation, but it's, like, a subscription to them because their content is free otherwise through YouTube or whatever. So you pay a subscription to their Patreon where they'll have, like, exclusive content.
Yeah.
And so this F1 TV kind of feels like that exclusive content because mm-hmm. you're a paying member. Whereas with most other of the streaming services we've talked about, it's like, it's just the content and right. we're going to extort you for the money for the content.
Right. Yeah. And I like that it's so, so affordable. They also allow six people to be viewing the live event at a time, which
right.
I think isn't super common anymore. I mean, I only remember hearing of Netflix cracking down, so I don't know about the other accounts and stuff, but I feel like it's usually 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's huge. You can also go back and watch anything at any time. They archive everything. So I think that's awesome too. And they've really figured out a way to cater to their fans across the country. Not across the country. Like across
the world.
Yeah, across the world. Go bigger.
go bigger, go home.
Yeah. They've really found a way to make it as simple as possible. And so definitely. I really commend them and appreciate them for doing that.
1,000%.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
Especially, and then I look at that, and obviously we had talked about it, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but when you think of that, and then that, I don't know, like the wild goose chase to find all the NFL games,
yeah.
like to me that feels really excessive when this is a very simple solution to mm-hmm. just have everything in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe that comes with they're not really competing with local broadcasts either. They don't really have to pivot away from that because they've never had that anyways. So that could be a reason why,
mm-hmm.
but they have their stuff together.
I know these media rights deals are big deals to these different leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like all roads lead back to our first episode. But, like, even in our first episode, we were talking about, like, all these schools want to move to the Big Ten.
Right,
or, like,
yes.
leave the Pac-12 because nobody wants to watch the Pac-12 because it's not competitive. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go to the Big Ten, which just negotiated a deal that is worth billions.
Right.
You get a cut of that you wouldn't get just by virtue of being in the mm-hmm. Big Ten versus being in the Pac-12. So I understand that, like, the money that comes with this viewership and stuff is really important to leagues. And so if they have the opportunity, if Amazon wants to give them however much they want to give them to stream, to have a couple of games for the year, like,
mm-hmm.
why are you going to turn that down? Like, I get it, like, 1,000%.
Right.
But it has just become such a, like, discombobulated experience
right.
for
yeah.
a viewer who just wants to, like, watch. It's like, what is it on? Or, like, how much do I have to pay? Is there...
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things don't even have a free trial, which is, like, irritating. Even if you just... Peacock, I know, like, because I wanted to do it for something before, doesn't even offer a free trial. At least it didn't whenever I was trying to sign up for it. But then again, on the other hand, you have stuff like... For MLS this year, I wanted to watch Messi. He was playing Atlanta, and they gave everyone, like, a free...
Oh, really?
Pass to watch the playoffs. Like, you could set up an account, and then I think they would charge you afterward. But, like, yeah, you got a free pass as long as you had an account, which is really cool. And then it opens the door, gives people access, and maybe they want to stick around as
mm-hmm.
opposed to always
right.
keeping it behind, like, this vault like Peacock
yeah.
did. There has to be, like, some change coming because I feel like it's getting a little too unsustainable in terms of the different, like,
mm-hmm.
rivulets of, like, this tiny streaming service and this tiny...
Right.
Like,
right.
It's breaking off a little bit too much. I feel like there's going to be something that's going to kind of, like, swoop it all back in.
Yeah, as I was doing the research for this, I was trying to decide if I was, like, if I had to pick pro or con for this, where I stand.
Yeah.
Because as a consumer, I mean, like you said, very fortunate. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Like, not having to, like, purchase all of them.
Yeah.
But eventually, I will,
right.
and that's really expensive. And I don't really want to do that, but
yeah.
but I probably will.
Yeah.
And so as a consumer, it's kind of annoying, but I also understand that it makes, for a business decision, it makes so much sense for a league, really any of the leagues, and for streaming platforms
mm-hmm.
to collab like that
yeah,
and
definitely.
Have those agreements. Like, they make so much more money. I think it was, you had said to me earlier, made a note or something about the new NBA contract being, like, 3 times the
mm-hmm.
amount that it used to have with TNT. I think it went from $25 million to $75 million,
mm-hmm.
Which is a massive,
yeah.
massive jump. So I definitely understand that. And the fact that a lot of them have, at least America-centric leagues like mostly the NFL has talked about this, but even the NBA does it too, trying to broaden their reach to internationally. And so you see it with the NFL going to London to play games, or Dublin, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. Sao Paulo, just all over, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the NBA has started to extend. You see it with, what was it, like the NBA Cup?
Yeah.
The Emirates.
The Emirates NBA Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Official titles. But you see them moving internationally and trying to grab that audience while maintaining their existing one. And so I think it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I am just personally irritated.
No, I get it.
But I think, kind of to your point that you were saying about it being spread really thin, leagues are really excited to grab the big money offers with all these platforms. But I think eventually there's going to be winners and losers in terms of platforms and leagues, honestly. Mm-hmm. But there's just less of them. And so I wouldn't be surprised if eventually leagues kind of pick one or two platforms and just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be easier, because what we were saying about F1 is that it's all in one spot.
Yeah.
And that's so convenient. Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, I'd probably pay a little bit more than they have it right now just for that, because it is so convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there's the two camps. It's like the sports leagues that are going to get viewers no matter what, like the NFL, or you can even argue F1. Like, they're going to get viewers. They're a global sport, soccer to some extent. So it's just about, like, where can we get the most out of that? Then you have leagues that are maybe struggling for viewership, like the NBA, famously recently, or the NHL. Mm-hmm. And it's like, can we use a new media rights deal to kind of help with what we're losing in terms of the viewership? And so they're going to treat, I guess, those two approaches are going to be treated differently, and they're going to navigate that differently. But I think Netflix was like just this perfect. I mean, I don't know if they plan to host other sports in the future. I mean, they've done a tennis match in the past, Rafa and Alcaraz, and then they've done like a F1 Vegas Grand Prix
Netflix Cup
golfing thing, which was honestly kind of a shit show.
Yes.
Like,
not even kind of. It was. But it was entertaining.
But it was entertaining. Just not quite up to par. If that was on the resume they submitted for the NFL, if that was on the resume they submitted for the NFL Christmas Day games, they probably wouldn't have gotten it.
Right.
But long story short, I don't know if they have plans to expand this stuff out to, like, the other big leagues, the other big sports in the future, but it's kind of a happy medium because, I mean, everybody has Netflix, and if you put, like, pretty much. I know not everybody, but, like, pretty much everybody has Netflix.
But that is, like, if you have one platform, it's probably that one.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of, like, the default of, like, what people have. And so if you're going to put something on there, like, you've guaranteed yourself. And all, like, actually, the Women's World Cup
for the next couple. I was going to ask you to explain
the next
that.
Couple Women's World Cups are going to be exclusively on Netflix. Mm-hmm. 2027 and then 2031 are both going to be on Netflix, which is kind of interesting, and I guess kind of like uncharted territory, because they've obviously never hosted something of that scale before. But again, it is a global platform. That's a global tournament. Maybe you're getting eyes on it for people that aren't usually, like, maybe wouldn't have seen it otherwise, because traditionally that stuff is on cable, and I feel like people are moving away from cable. So, like, I know some people were arguing, like, oh, like, I would have, you know, this is kind of annoying because maybe it would just be on TV and I, like, wouldn't, but I'm like, who's, like, really just, like, scrolling through your cable channels anymore? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, like, and maybe the demographic they're going for, if they're trying to look for, like, a younger demographic, they probably aren't scrolling through their TV channels. They're probably scrolling through Netflix. So it's probably just, I'm sure they've done their research on who they want to target and who they want to get eyes on it and what makes the most sense for them. But it'll just be interesting to see how that plays out and the production value of it all, and definitely more accessible, I feel like, for me than maybe it otherwise would have been, because, again, I have Netflix.
Yeah.
So I don't have
cable. They wanted Claire specifically to be able to watch the World Cup.
They called me specifically. They said, hey, would this work for you? I said, great. And here we are.
And exactly. And then they rolled it out right then.
And then they rolled it out, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, when you first sent that to me, there was, I remember kind of, I think you shared a lot of articles with people being like, this is a step back for women's soccer. And I didn't fully understand that. I still don't fully understand that perspective. Because in my mind, we're just going to keep moving further and further away from cable. I mean, I think cable is essentially dead in the water right now.
Yeah.
Not, obviously, it's more nuanced than this, but everything is being targeted towards Gen Z, pretty much. Like, that's, I mean, that's a new generation kind of starting to make their own. And so Yeah.
Well, any, I mean, I don't even do, like, marketing or stuff, but, like, 18 to 35, 24 or something, that's, like, the magic demographic that everybody wants. Yeah, it's, like, around that age range, so, again, younger.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, that's almost, I mean, there's still a couple years to go, but that's almost exclusively Gen Z. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, as we move towards kind of this digital era and stuff, I just don't see the future for cable broadcasting. So, yes, I agree that maybe it would be on your local bar TV. Probably not, to be honest. I don't know. I think this is more of a step forward. And it's the same with, like, the WNBA being included. I think they're included in the NBA's new rights deal and things. Yeah. And I think that'll help them a lot, too. I think there's more pros than cons when it comes to streaming the World Cup. The one hesitation that you did bring up and I agree with is that it's uncharted territory for something that huge. And I thought it was bold that they did the next two, not like a one trial.
So
it shows Netflix's commitment to being like a sports streaming platform.
Yeah, definitely.
They've definitely made it very clear that that's what they want to do. But I'm curious like how that goes. I mean, I guess they have a few years to prep and everything. Mm-hmm. So, and as we saw with the Christmas day, then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that'll be kind of cool to see because they have the whole tournament then. Like every single game. That'd be kind of cool, I mean, to have access to those at all times. So.
Yeah, and especially, I don't know what type of thing they do. Throwing out ideas for you, Netflix, if you haven't figured this out yet.
But if you're watching this.
If you're watching, take notes. Like, for the Olympics, whenever they have, like, the multi-viewer things, or like, even for, like, March Madness, where if you have multiple games going on at one time, you can have, like, multiple games up. I don't know exactly how the schedule will work, but I'm sure there'll be times where games overlap. So, if they incorporate something like that, that's something that you can't incorporate onto cable, I guess, is my long story short, that, like, you can incorporate onto a platform like Netflix, or it's their own platform, they can do what they want. And so, people from other, like, countries getting more eyes on other games that they wouldn't have been watching because they can only watch one at a time, for example.
Exactly. That's the other thing with the cable argument is that they're only going to show certain ones on prime time and then certain ones on certain channels. Like, you're not going to get every single game, whereas with Netflix, you are. Mm-hmm. And as we've talked about, Netflix has a massive global audience. So I really don't think that that's a huge limiting factor for people to be able to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you only had Netflix, then that's significantly cheaper than having cable. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows what the future holds for all of this. But
it's very exciting.
It is exciting, and hopefully it's somewhat cheaper than we have to do now.
Hopefully.
Or at least there are more benefits. Like I talked about with F1 TV or like this Netflix thing, if you could watch multiple games at a time. That's an added benefit of paying for something as opposed to just like, you must pay so you can watch.
Yeah,
so
it'll definitely be awesome as things kind of figure it out. They run through like the first few years, and then I imagine things would become more personalized, like F1 TV. And so, I mean, I feel like everyone talks about it all the time. Like, they're taking our data. Like, they know everything about us.
Yeah.
But that makes everything so personal. Yeah. And so, like, if we'll probably see that with sports viewership, too, with these platforms just getting further and further, just more innovative, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not ridiculously expensive. I'm excited.
Me too.
For this week's Fun Friday, I took inspiration from Dog Mondays on TikTok, so shout out to them for this idea. But I am challenging Claire to accurately guess the middle names of the NFL playoff quarterbacks. So we have our options here. So we have Jared Goff, Josh Allen, John Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud, Lamar Jackson, and Jada Daniels as our options. And then for the middle names, we have LaVon. We have an unknown middle name. Didn't want to leave one out. Bernard, Thomas, Matthew, Demetrius, Alexander, and Patrick. So Claire's going to give it her best attempt.
Yeah, okay. So I started this off, I told Jenna beforehand, I'm like, I think I won't know any of these. I might know Patrick Mahomes' middle name. Looking at this list, I do not know Patrick Mahomes' middle name, is what I learned. So I'm going to find out by the end of this, but I'm not positive. I thought it was Tyrone, and I don't know why.
Well, that doesn't look like an option.
Some athlete's middle name is Tyrone. It's not him.
I would probably put money on that. Some athlete somewhere probably has a middle name Tyrone.
Someone did, and I thought it was him. It's not. So the first thing I'm going to say here is that as you're reading through the list again, John Stafford... And Jenna, by the way, did you say you're not going to tell me until the end?
Yes, I won't. Okay. I won't. I'll let her go through the list once, and then we'll see which one is right, which one's wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so John Stafford stood out to me because I don't know a quarterback by the name of John Stafford. However, I do know a quarterback by the name of Matthew Stafford. And so I'm thinking that this guy is John Matthew Stafford. And he goes by his middle name, Matthew. So that's going to be my first guess. I'm going to pencil that one in there.
My legit reaction when I first watched their video was, who's John? I literally said that out loud as I watched.
Who's John? I was like, is this a rookie? I don't know. So I'm going to go with that. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going just off of vibes. I don't think Patrick Mahomes' middle name is Patrick, because Patrick Mahomes would be kind of crazy.
I think that's kind of elite, but...
It kind of fits.
A little bit.
Just him. CJ is tough, I feel like, because I thought CJ might just be, like, his initials, you know, like C and J, but he has four letters happening here. CJ something S. or he's unknown, and then he only has three, so...
Right. And CJ Stroud itself is such a cool name.
It is a really good name.
That it's really hard to pick out of these.
Yeah. This is actually kind of tough because also Bernard, Thomas, Matthew, Alexander, Patrick are all pretty chill. Demetrius is a little unique. Jared Alexander Goff feels like it has something there.
Right.
But then Jared Goff, Bernard... would also just, like, fit Jared Bernard Goff. But also Josh Allen feels like it could be Bernard.
To me, Josh Allen is one of the most basic names I've ever heard.
It is. That's what I mean. So I'm like, the middle name must be spicy, you know?
Must it? Or, like, I don't is know. It as
but it,
plain
it
as
Josh
the name?
Josh Patrick Allen. Jalen Hurts, I'm going to go with... I don't know. He just feels... For some reason, I feel like this is wrong, but I like Demetrius for him. So I'm going to do that. But I'm not... Like, I'm not feeling, like, super great about it. I feel like maybe the marker's telling me that's the wrong choice, but we're going to stick with it for now. Okay.
Okay.
Lamar Bernard Jackson could be a thing. Okay. That's a lot of the same sound. Maybe that's a good thing. Jaden, like, I'm also trying to think, like, when your parents, like, yelling at you, like, what sounds right for them. Right. Jaden Matthew Daniels. Jaden Patrick Daniels. Jaden LaVon Daniels.
I say just pick one.
I know. Okay, I'm just going to go off of vibes because I feel like I just have... Thomas is the one that I don't know
who
Thomas
is. Yeah, you just
got to
throw them on the board and see where they...
CJ Thomas Stroud. CJ. Okay, I'm going to give unknown to CJ. Because I'm going to say that CJ somehow is his first and middle name.
Okay.
Patrick, you better have a middle name. See, I also watched the GQ couples quiz with Patrick and Brittany Mahomes. Mm-hmm. This is why I think I thought I knew his middle name, because I'm almost positive that was a question. So, I want to do Jarek Alexander Goff. Jaden Bernard Daniels, I feel like. Lamar LLJ, I kind of like that. like vibes there. So then I have, what do I have? I have Patrick, which I can't give to Patrick Mahomes. So Josh Patrick Allen, and Pat Mahomes will get Bernard? No, Thomas. Patrick Thomas Mahomes. I don't know if I love that.
Okay.
But I'm going to lock it in.
You're going to lock it in,
let's
or you
do, let's do, so I'm going to lock it in for now. How about let's do one round where you tell me.
I'll erase.
Tell me how many, either how many I have right or... which ones are right.
I'll tell you how many
tell
are right
many
to start,
right.
And then I'll erase the ones that are wrong. How about that?
Erase the ones that are
like
wrong?
Like the numbers.
Oh, I see, wrong. I see. Okay, yeah. Tell me how many I have right.
looking at the answers, you did get 2 out of 8 correct.
Okay. Yes.
So you did get, congrats, John Matthew Stafford. And then you also got Josh Patrick Allen correct. So, right above. Yes. So,
wowza. Okay.
We have some rearranging to do.
I'll do one more try and then we'll do the final reveal. Okay. All right. So we've cleared the board.
Yes. Round two starts
round
now.
Round two. I hope I don't accidentally give somebody the same. So Lamar, you know what? Lamar, I think he's unknown. I don't know why. He gives that vibes. CJ, so you're telling me CJ has a middle name?
Yes. I will give you that.
Okay. Jalen Patrick. Patrick Matthew Mahomes. Now, that has a ring to it. Patrick.
No, you can't use Matthew because that's Matt Stafford.
Maybe.
This one is gone.
Yeah, that's actually good help. Get rid of him. Get rid of...
And then Patrick.
Patty. Okay. So, I don't know why I want to lock in Patrick Mahomes so bad, but I really do. I think it's Bernard. GQ Couples Quiz is coming back to me. I think this is what it is. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
LaVon. I gave that to... Oh, I gave it to Lamar.
Lamar.
Who has Demetrius? They're Demetrius or whatever that is. So if it's not Jalen Hurts, I'm going to give it to CJ.
Aura.
Okay. Exactly. That's exactly. He needs to make up for only having 2 letters in the first name. Let's see.
I thought you were going to, like, insult his game there or something.
Alexander. Jared Alexander. Jalen Alexander. See, Jalen Alexander just, like, rolls off the tongue. Thomas. Jared Thomas Goff. I don't like this name, so I'm going to give it to him. I don't like the name Goff.
Mm.
Okay, that's a 4. yes. So we have LaVon. I'm going to give that to Jaden Daniels, and then Alexander is the last one. Give it to... Give it to Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Final, this...
This is my... I'm locking it in here.
Okay.
So, just let's go down the list then, and you tell me what their names are, and I'll, like, write it over here if it's wrong.
Okay.
Number.
All right. So, it's Jared Thomas Goff.
Yes!
So, you got the first 3.
Yes.
Yes. And then it is Jalen Alexander Hurts. So you got that one.
Wow.
From there, I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
But then we have Patrick LaVon Mahomes.
Shoot.
Yeah.
GQ's Couples Quiz.
I know. I don't think it came back to you.
Yikes.
But A That's for
okay.
effort.
It's okay.
Then we have CJ Bernard Stroud.
Oh, that actually fits, though.
And then it's Lamar Demetrius Jackson. Yeah, tough.
Jaden Daniels? Just so, Jaden Daniels?
I don't know. I mean, he might have one, but it is unknown, apparently. So.
Dang, okay.
Yeah. So, you were 4. You got 4 at 8.
Yeah.
50%. That's not terrible.
No, I shouldn't have tried so hard to lock into Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
different
what,
wavelength.
Lamar Demetrius, I guess. I don't know. CJ fits, like, honestly, that kind of fits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like LaVon for Patrick Mahomes.
I'm also kind of not surprised that Jaden Daniels doesn't have one of these names.
Like, it
when
makes
I was
sense.
Reading through them, honestly, none of them were, like, sticking to me.
Yeah,
his,
no,
so maybe he has one, maybe it's really cool, but
honestly,
we
if
don't
I didn't,
know.
I was pretty positive Patty did have a middle name. Obviously, I wasn't sure what it was.
Right,
I would have
right.
probably said Patrick Mahomes didn't have a middle name, mm-hmm. just because I feel like that would make sense for him.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I think I would not have given, I guess my point is I would not have given it to Jaden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, nice job.
I got Jared, Josh, John, and Jalen, though.
That you did. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Athlete and the NARP. We hope you enjoyed our discussion about the changing landscape of sports streaming and their platforms, as well as our fun Friday where Claire tried to guess the middle names of the NFL playoff quarterbacks.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Athlete and the NARP. You can email us at theathleteandthenarp@gmail.com with content suggestions or questions. Until next time, I'm Claire Fenton.
And I'm Jenna Daly. And this has been The Athlete and the NARP.